Welcome to Tarat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Amos, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. In Chapter 2, Amos began his rebuke of the Northern Kingdom for its fraudulent leadership, unjust treatment of others, and abandonment of moral responsibilities, despite all the gifts that Hashem had bestowed upon the Jewish people in order to aid them in pursuit of holiness and attaining closeness to their Creator. In Chapter 3, Amos revisits the concept of the Jewish people's unique relationship with Hashem and the high standards this dictates, opening in the first two pasukim, verses, saying, Shim'u es hadavar hazeh, asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei Yisrael, al kol ha'mishpacha asher ha'eleisi me'eretz Mitzrayim leimar. Listen to this word, which Hashem has spoken about you, children of Yisrael, upon the entire family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Rak eschem yadati, mikol mishbachos ha'adama, al kein efkoid aleichem es kol adonoseichem. Only you I knew from among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will visit against you all of your iniquities. Hashem is reminding the Jewish people, according to Malbim, that bringing them out of Egypt, he acquired them as his portion, to be dealt with not through any intermediary, but through direct divine providence. Yedio, knowledge, knowing, denotes deep, intense closeness. Love, as Rashi points to here in verse 2, Hashem is expressing to the Jewish people, I loved you, but you sinned against me, and so you will be brought to justice. Amos then poses a series of rhetorical questions aimed at underscoring the formula of cause and effect in the world, to draw the people's attention to the root of their suffering being their sinful conduct. Verse 3. Hayel chushnaim yachdav bilti im noyodu. Do two walk together unless they arranged? When two people meet up in a particular place, it is because they have planned it by making a prior arrangement. So too, reads Rashi, when you say to the prophets, do not prophesy, which we saw in chapter 2, is it not the case that they don't deliver prophecy from their own heart, but rather because Hashem has commanded them to? It is meaningless to tell the prophets not to prophesy, for they are messengers of Hashem. Amos is awakening the people to the reality that prophecies come true because they are the word of Hashem. So instead of dismissing them, use these revelations as opportunities to learn. Rashi underscores the questions brought in the following few verses with the message to the Jewish people that when evil comes their way, they should conclude that Hashem is sending it upon them, for they have failed to heed the advice of the prophets. Verse 4. Hayishag aryeh bayar v'tereth ein loy? Will a lion roar in the forest if it has no prey? Hayitain kfir koiloi, mimo'inasai, bilti imlachod. Does a young lion send forth its voice from his den unless he has captured? When a lion takes hold of its prey, it roars. And it doesn't roar if it does not have prey. The spirit of prophecy which comes upon a prophet is compared to the roar of a lion. So Amos is conveying that if Hashem sends the prophets with predictions of evil to fall upon the nation, it is derived from Hashem's decree, and it comes as a result of having caught its prey. Hashem has caught you in sin. Like the bird that gets caught in a trap, as described in verse 5, the net won't ascend from the ground if there is no bird in it. When the bird tries to escape from the net into which it was ensnared, it pulls and lifts the net somewhat, and then it is caught. Realize that your sins will trap you. Verse 6. Im yitokah shofar ba'ir, v'am lo yicherodu? Will a shofar sound in the city and the people not tremble? The lookout sees troops approaching and sounds the shofar to warn the people of the city. As they tremble at this warning, so should you shake at the warning given by the prophets. They are trying to help you to avoid the punishment. Im tihye ra'a ba'ir, v'hashem lo yaso? Will there be evil in the city if Hashem has not done it? If the evil does come upon you, notice that Hashem has brought this. Realize if you face the evil, that you brought it upon yourselves. It is not a coincidence, and you were warned. So listen to the prophecies in advance to avoid the calamity. The prophets want to save you, and they have been sent by your Father in heaven to give you another chance. Verse 8. Ariye sha'og mi lo yiro, Hashem Elokim diber, mi lo yinove. The lion has roared, who will not fear? Hashem Elokim has spoken, who will not prophesy? The spirit of prophecy has descended upon the prophets. Which of them would not prophesy in response? Therefore, do not silence the prophets. Cease from blaming calamity on anything other than your own poor choices. To emphasize the gravity of the situation in the Northern Kingdom, Amos now calls to the nobles in Egypt and in Ashdod, one of the cities of the Plishtim, to gather their people to witness, Mehumois Rabbeis Basoicha, Va'ashukim Bekirbo. Verse 9, great confusions within it, and the people being oppressed in its midst. See the corruption in the Northern Kingdom. The prophet continues on to say that its people don't even know any longer how to do the right thing. And so Amos prophesies in the remaining verses of chapter 3 that the people of the Northern Kingdom will suffer the terrible consequences. An enemy will invade and very few will be able to escape. And the concluding statement he delivers on behalf of Hashem returns to the indulgence of the wealthy in luxury. Verse 15. V'hikesi ves ha'chayref al beis ha'kayetz. V'ovdu batei ha'shein. V'sofu batim rabim na'um Hashem. I will strike the winter house and the summer house. The houses of ivory will be lost, and many houses will be destroyed, the word of Hashem. Some people were so wealthy that they had separate houses for the seasons of winter and summer. Neither indulgence will remain. This final note introduces the opening to chapter 4, where preoccupation with luxury is criticized as causing oppression of the poor. As we come to the end of chapter 3, a call to open minds and hearts to the truth, some questions present themselves. How often do we feel charged in moments of awakening to go out and accomplish, to channel the inspiration into becoming greater and bringing more good into the world? But then, when the motivation dissipates as the stimulus for growth fades further into our history, we realize we did not allow anything to change. How well do we listen to hints around us beckoning to us to return to our spiritual calling? How often do we choose humility, the more painful option of admitting fault, knowing that in the long term it promises deliverance? Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.